Support for this program by Fairbanks, Alaska, the Golden Heart City. Go see a Gold Panthers game. Visit downtown art galleries or drive out to Chena Hot Springs. Exploring your home state is the COVID-safe way to enjoy the summer.
Welcome to Native America Calling. From Albuquerque, I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Melinda Gates and Mackenzie Scott, two of the wealthiest women in the world, are on a mission to level the playing field for female entrepreneurs. They launched an initiative to provide money to organizations that do just that. One of the organizations awarded the money is Native Women Lead. The New Mexico group is receiving $10 million to boost their work to help Native women obtain the skills, support, and capital to succeed. Coming up after the news, we're talking with members of the group to find out what they do and how they attracted the attention of major philanthropists.
This is National Native News. I'm Tripp Krause in for Antonia Gonzalez. The U.S. Senate passed a bipartisan bill that includes more than $11 billion in infrastructure funding for tribes and Native communities. The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act includes billions of dollars for sanitation construction, a tribal transportation program, approved water rights settlements, and a broadband connectivity program. Hawaii's U.S. Senator Brian Schatz chairs the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs and spoke in favor of the bill.
This legislation contains more than $11 billion in direct investments for Native communities, including $3.5 billion for clean water access and delivery, $3 billion for safe roads and bridges, $2 billion to close the digital divide for American Indian, Alaska Native, and Native Hawaiian families.
The bill moves to the U.S. House for further consideration. The U.S. military will review whether some awards to Black and Native American veterans should be upgraded to the Medal of Honor. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin wrote in an August 2nd memo that the review will cover Black and Native American veterans of the Korean and Vietnam Wars, as well as Native Americans who fought in World War II. The Army and Navy conducted similar reviews for Black World War II veterans. The Medal of Honor is the highest award for valor in combat. In a release, the Defense Department said that the review will make sure that veterans who served at a time of widespread racial discrimination receive equal opportunities for their valor to be recognized. An agreement between the Picayune Rancheria of Chichansi Indians and Madera County, California, will expand sheriff and fire services to Chichansi tribal land and the nearby community. Claudia Gonzalez is the chairwoman for the Picayune Rancheria.
Picayune has a long history of working with Madera County and their board of supervisors. The tribe and the community, the county, have always stressed the importance of working together to protect and serve our local community as a whole.
According to a news release, the tribe will increase funding to a local fire station to increase staffing and to better use a fire truck.
And just being able to provide the assistance and the knowledge and being able to protect our community was a huge thing for the tribe to make sure everyone was safe.
The agreement will also reimburse the county sheriff's office for patrolling the tribe's casino and provide funding for two patrol vehicles at the casino. A federal district court in Washington vacated a past ruling in a decades-long fishing rights dispute between the Lummi Nation and two Tsleil-Waututh tribes. The Tsleil-Waututh tribes claimed the Lummi Nation had encroached on their territorial waters in northwest Washington. The district court had ruled in a previous judgment that the Lummi Nation didn't include the waters in question. However, the Ninth Circuit made a decision in another judgment in June that the Lummi Nation wasn't encroaching on the other tribes' waters. The Tsleil-Waututh tribes contested that decision, and now the federal district court's decision to vacate its past ruling also favors the Lummi Nation. U.S. District Judge Ricardo Martinez urged the tribes to work together on a potential resolution, saying, quote, "Ultimately, there may not be a legal solution, and if there is, it will likely have to come from the Ninth Circuit," end quote. A California State Commission will launch an investigation into the treatment of a sacred site on a university campus. Located on what is now the California State University Long Beach, Pavunga is an ancient and sacred village site that holds historical and cultural significance to the Tongva, the Hoshimen, and other Southern California tribes. In 2019, the university dumped construction dirt and debris from a student housing project on the 22-acre site. Tribal groups protested and sued, alleging that in doing so, the university desecrated the site. On July 30th, the California Native American Heritage Commission unanimously voted to launch the investigation. The commission will also file an amicus brief in support of tribal groups in the ongoing lawsuit. For National Native News, I'm Trip Krause.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support by the Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center, dedicated to cancer research, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous population. A no-charge online risk assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme. This show is supported by the FX original series, Reservation Dogs. From Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi, Reservation Dogs follows the adventures of four Indigenous teens in rural Oklahoma. Reservation Dogs, now streaming exclusively FX on Hulu.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Last week, Native Women Lead and New Mexico Community Capital, both based here in Albuquerque, announced they won the Equity Can't Wait Challenge. The prize, $10 million. The mission, to help Indigenous women expand their power and influence in their communities through entrepreneurship. The Equity Can't Wait Challenge, which is backed and supported by two of the world's wealthiest women, Melinda Gates and Mackenzie Scott, is all about leveling the playing field and ending inequality. Inequality in Native America comes in many forms, and the way the folks at Native Women Lead and New Mexico Community Capital are going to address issues like poverty and lack of access to resources by empowering Indigenous women. Through a program, we'll hear more about this, but we also want to talk to you and hear from you. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'd like to introduce our guests for this hour. Joining us here in Albuquerque is Alicia Ortega. She's the co-director and co-founder of Native Women Lead. She's Santa Clara and Powake Pueblo. Also in Albuquerque is Liz Gamboa. She's the executive director of New Mexico Community Capital. She's of Apache descent. Tina Archuleta is the owner of Vitality Plant-Based Wellness, and she's Jemez. And Shea Lucero is the owner of Earth and Sky Floral Design. Welcome, everyone, to Native America Calling, and also for joining us today. And Alicia, there's so much excitement about this award, and we want to hear about it. But also, I just want to start off the hour by having you talk a little bit about the organization and why it was founded.
Good. I guess it's still morning, right? 11 morning, Antonia and everyone. Thank you so much for having us on the show today. Just to kind of give a little bit of history on Native Women Lead and how we came together, since our inception, Native Women Lead's really just, been a force powered by the heart work of eight of our co-founders that built this together. And since 2017, when we came together, we've produced two business summits specifically co-designed and co-created for Native women in business. But we've also expanded beyond business summits to meet the needs of our community and particularly the women, and working to really also help support the decolonization of funding and create what we call a waterway, not a pipeline, of opportunity for Native women to access capital through non-harmful and non-extractive mechanisms. Also working with our partners at New Mexico Community Capital to provide, wraparound support that includes really culturally relevant technical assistance, virtual programming. We're also building out our policy and advocacy arm and developing an Indigenous Women's Investment Fund. And then most recently, we also launched our Native Women Lead Fair Trade Initiative. And just working on a lot of different things at the moment.
Great. And Liz, what is the partnership with Native Women Lead?
Hey, good morning. It's excitement. Let me just say that from the get-go. It's been just a little over a week since we got the news, or the news was released publicly. And, I'm still trying to wrap my arms around it. And, you know, that's a nice problem to have. We've been collaborating with Native Women Lead since they were founded. Six of the eight co-founders were near graduates. We have run in the past and will continue to run the Native Entrepreneur in Residence Program, which is a six-month entrepreneurial program. So six of the eight co-founders went through that program. And in the earlier years, you know, they met in our conference room. We were sponsors in their summits, and we've watched them grow and their reach, their impact, and, you know, they've inspired a lot of people. So they have launched a Matriarch Response Loan Fund, which is a non-extractive, relationship-based lending model, and we have supported them through technical assistance services with our culturally relevant, you know, Indigenous-directed programming. And so what that means is we're going to bring that to the table with Native Women Lead, and, you know, hand in hand or arm in arm, we're going to move together and just creating this amazing program.
And New Mexico Community Capital works with Native communities or Native business owners. Is that right? Can you share a little bit more about what your group does?
Sure. So part of the history, I guess, and the legacy of the organization is launching that program, the NEAR program, in 2014, which was a six-month program that was both an accelerator and an incubator, and it was funded by the ANA, Administration for Native Americans, a federal program. And it was before my time. I started in 2018, but it was an incredibly effective program. And the program offered one-to-one mentorship, which is really important because it serves to meet business owners where they are. I mean, people toss that out, but truly, you know, there's a wide range. And this is an important element in all of our programs. And there's no expectation of where people needed to be. This was both an incubator, an accelerator, you know, it's helping secure that, you know, if it's a dream, you know, it's in the dream stage, we help them clarify that. And the biggest part of this program, I thought, was the $15,000 that people got over a six-month period. So that $15,000, it's similar to the Y Combinator model. But I think with Y Combinator, which is another entrepreneurial program that's quite famous in this country for, the, I guess, what you would call the unicorns, we would pay that over the course of 6 months, but people just didn't have to be, you know, they didn't have to meet a certain level or hurdle or gross revenue forecast. It was really like who is passionate here, who has, you know, good ideas that they've thought through, who's even considered their forecast going forward. So there was no limitation on how funds were used. You know, it was all seed capital, and seed capital could mean childcare, it could mean rent, it could mean groceries, or it could be buying something for your business. So we really left it up to the entrepreneurs. And the program graduated 46 businesses from 28 tribes in 7 states. It was, really successful. And we're actually launching a new program, which is half the time, which is near 90, which is a three-month program, basically going through the same thing, one-to-one mentorship, but with a smaller stipend. It's hard to fund a larger program, but it became clear after that program that people needed more knowledge and education, sharing around financial literacy and business basics. So, you know, at the base level, let's talk about a budget. What are the financial statements? That kind of thing. So we were funded by the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and they saw the benefit of this. And our program director, Henry Jake Foreman, led the development of financial and business basics, or FBB, with funding focused in New Mexico and Michigan. Again, that also included a stipend, a toolkit, which was a laptop and a flash drive and ledgers and, you know, everything that you would need, right, to be like on the ground running a small business. We also developed a program that was just funded by the EDA called Digital Media and Marketing Basics, which was founded actually, or we realized the need after working with the Native Women Leads Group, the Matriarch Response Loan Fund that they launched, that people, you know, needed help getting online after being shut down during the pandemic. So they needed a site, they needed social media pages, that kind of thing. So really that has influenced and our program has evolved from what's really needed in the field. And, you know, on and off res, you know, wherever it is.
Great. And it sounds like there's a lot of great things going on in both organizations. And Tina, talk a little bit about how organizations like these help you as a business owner.
Hi, great. Thank you for having me. So Native Women Lead and NMCC have been very supportive of my entrepreneurial journey ever since before I even started my business. So I attended the first Native Women Lead Summit in 2018. And at that summit, I was able to take a social entrepreneurship workshop and a branding workshop. And it was actually at those workshops that I realized, you know, like, wow, I have a strong brand. I'm a social entrepreneur. And those workshops just, you know, opened a whole world for me of even vocabulary, network, and just opportunity. So that's how Native Women Lead really kind of, you know, helped me to launch my business in 2018. And at the summit is where I actually caught wind of the Native Entrepreneur in Residence program. You know, I was there at the summit taking notes, writing down any kind of resource I could get my hands on. And I learned of the Native Entrepreneur Residence Program. I applied for that in June of 2018. And, you know, gratefully, I was accepted into the New Mexico Community Capital Program. And I was provided with that seed capital of $15,000. And with that, I was able to, everything Liz said, I was able to pay for some childcare when I had to. I was able to buy equipment and, you know, set up shop. I was able to buy enough equipment to be able to sell at the farmer's market. And it was, that's how they really, really have been supportive of my efforts. And even more, even more so since then. So I really appreciate them.
Well, thank you for that. And today we're talking with some Native women in business. We have to take a short break, but we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE.
Indigenous people presented a totem pole to the Biden administration. The totem made a cross-country trip to raise awareness of endangered sacred places before arriving in Washington, D.C. Now the work remains advocating for the protection of sacred sites. We'll hear more about it on the next Native America Calling.
Support by Roswell Park, who know tribal communities face persistent challenges in health equity, such as cancer and higher death rates. The Center for Indigenous Cancer Research at Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center is dedicated to advancing cancer research that will lead to translatable science, medicine, and cancer care for Indigenous populations worldwide. Are you at high risk for cancer? A no-charge online assessment tool is available at roswellpark.org/assessme.
You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're talking with some Native women in business today, and we want to hear from you. What are some of the biggest challenges you faced starting your business? What resources did you use? Were there resources available to you? Did you start your business on the reservation or off the reservation? What are the different challenges? Give us a call. Share your experience. We have some ladies joining us on the phone today to talk about this. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And I'd like to welcome back our guests. to Native America Calling, Alicia Ortega, Liz Gamboa, Tina Archuleta, and Shaye Lucero. Thank you so much for being here. And right before the break, Tina was talking about how organizations like Native Women Lead and New Mexico Community Capital helped her get her business started. And Shaye, I want to hear the same thing. How did organizations like this help you?
Goatse Haupa. Good. Hello, people. My name is Shaye Lucero. I am the owner and floral designer at Earth and Sky Floral Designs and Gallery in Laguna, Pueblo. I am from the Pueblos of Acoma and Laguna. And when I started my business in December of 2008, it was almost a year of hard work, a lot of crying, a lot of begging in trying to find the capital needed to purchase this floral shop that was for sale in Laguna. And I was denied by traditional banks, traditional loan companies, and it almost got to the point where I either give up or take out a high interest loan through one of the predatory loan companies. But a group called the New Mexico Loan Fund, the New Mexico Community Development Loan Company, Loan Fund, they're the ones that took a risk on me and provided me with the beginning capital to make a down payment on the business and to start the transfer of the previous owner to me, as well as to start the marketing. And so for 9 years, it was just a lot of mistakes being made in terms of, trying something. If it didn't work, then I would, start over again. So it's a lot of stop and go. And it wasn't until that first summit with New Mexico or Native Women Lead is where it really kind of the business portion started solidifying for me in terms of they were offering classes in how to market yourself with also maintaining humility and the humbleness that, a lot of, especially particularly Pueblo people are taught. And then, how to pitch, how to make a pitch, how to, present yourself to other, other funders, outside funders. And then through the years, started working with New Mexico Community Capital. And during the pandemic, my business was shut down for 3 months, but they offered to this digital marketing class. And in that digital marketing class, they helped me create a better online presence in terms of what I needed to do in tweaking my website, in what I needed to do and how to properly use hashtags, how to work with Google, take the free Google online classes. And again, it was more like how to market yourself. And so what I find with these two companies is they are creating this very special and unique relationship that is going to be provided to a lot of Native American entrepreneurs so that they don't make the mistakes I did. They don't have to struggle. They don't have to beg. They don't have to, plead that, that their business is important. They have these support systems in place that who will cheer them on, who will, share their information on social media. And that in itself is just a special and very, very unique relationship that that in the beginning of when I began my entrepreneur journey, I didn't have. And it's beautiful to see them develop into this relationship in which they cheer each other on. They fill in gaps that, one organization may not provide. And to create this really unique relationship that I think will be a huge model organization in Indian Country.
And thank you for that. And Alicia, why is it important for Native women to gather and support each other, and especially in the business world?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm so happy to just be in this space and to get to hear from everybody. And, you know, I think from the beginning, you know, when we came together to build Native Women Lead, we really, in that spirit of like what Shai talked about through experience, you know, we're feeling like, okay, we're operating here in systems that were not built for us, and not only not built for us, but historically, you know, meant to leave us out of the system and out of opportunity. So, you know, for us, we just really felt, you know, we have each other, and we're going to lean on each other and build together and support each other's businesses, and, you know, reach out to our sisters, and also in the spirit of co-creation and co-design, lean on them to help guide the work. And really, I mean, Native Women Lead is a Native Women community-led organization, 100%. You know, everything that since the very beginning when we came together for our very, very first summit, we brought together as many Native women as we knew and could bring together at Acción, I think over 70, to really help build the first summit. It was a very much for us, by us movement created, and you know, let's build this together. What are the challenges and the barriers? Because, you know, to be honest, in our communities, at least for Native women, we're here making 60 cents to the dollar of our white non-Hispanic male counterparts, but we're also the primary breadwinners, and as Jamie, my fellow co-director, says, the bread makers in our communities. You know, we're also facing a lot of challenges and essentially experiencing invisibility, which is why we were so, this meant so much to us to have this kind of investment in our community, because we do, as Native people, represent less than 2% of the U.S. population, and as Native women, even less than that. So, you know, we're also just battling a lot in terms of violence and, you know, missing, murdered Indigenous women, girls, and relatives in our communities, as well as extractive industries causing harm. So just we're in this space that we're really just trying to create the systemic changes that need to happen, and we're doing it together. And yeah, we're excited for this.
And Tina, can you expand on that doing it together thought of having all this support and supporting each other, but also being able to come together and learn from one another? And like Shaye was talking about, of hoping that people who are starting their own business don't make mistakes, or even have now more opportunities that is being created right now. Go ahead, Tina.
Okay, totally. Yeah, I, you know, wouldn't have been able to do this without community and without the tools that Native Women Lead and NMCC had provided for us. You know, even the empowerment, just the overall community, the support, you know, just to have the people, your community of Native women, believe in you, believe in your dream, and also know what you're going through, having gone through the same experiences. You know, there's just a level of oneness and a relation that you can feel. You can feel exactly what somebody's going through. And at that first summit, I remember crying when Changing Women Initiative founder was on stage and talking about her passion. And it was just the level of passion, because I felt that level of passion for the work I do. And I know that all Native women in this community and in general all over feel passion for what they do. And just having the level of support that Native Women Lead, NMCC provided, is just so unmatched in community and in the business world. You know, people say you can turn to SBA, you can turn to, you know, the Chamber of Commerce, you can turn here, here, here. But really, they weren't meeting me where I needed to be met. And they weren't providing me with services that were helping me, or even to believe in my dream. Whereas the Native Women Lead organization, NMCC, they knew exactly where I was coming from and the challenges that I faced, even as far as personal challenges and historical and intergenerational traumas that I face and the things that I had to break through as an entrepreneur. This community knew, and we're all doing the same kind of breakthroughs together. So that's just so powerful, and I'm just really honored and grateful to be alive in this time and to be a part of this community.
That was great. And for you, Shaye, you also have a lot of passion in your work and what you do. Go ahead and expand on what Tina was talking about.
I honestly don't think that I could have been as successful as not only as a voice for, educating about cultural appropriation in my industry, or to be able to advocate for rural and tribal businesses on Capitol Hill without folks like Vanessa Roanhorse at Native Women Lead, who actually was the one who put me in contact with a Washington, D.C. based small business organization who has had me out to Washington, D.C. a couple of times to advocate for tribal businesses. I was also able, on behalf of Small Business Majority and then the connection again with Native Women Lead, to meet Secretary Janet Yellen on her second day of office. She's the Department of Treasury Secretary, and to actually have a conversation with her about what tribal businesses are enduring, what they're gone through, how the pandemic has really hindered us. And so it was very eye-opening for her that in various public media spotlights that she did after that interview, she did come back and say, she recognize that the tribal businesses need help, which is really, really important. So just, being able to have that kind of connection through folks like Vanessa Roanhorse, Stephanie Poston, and AJ Glochet, those two were the main three who have actually helped me in terms of learning how to become a better advocate. And then the folks at New Mexico Community Capital, like Jake Foreman and Liz Gamboa, to really help me create a better online presence with my business, and then to advocate. Just having those kind of cheerleaders and supporters in your corner for the past few years, it has just been remarkable. And I honestly do not think I would be the entrepreneur that I am today. And to be able to apply for grant monies and apply to just keep pushing for myself and being an advocate, I really do not think that without Native Women Lead and New Mexico Community Capital that my business would be flourishing as it is today and surviving the pandemic.
And to our listeners, give us a call. You're tuning in to Native America Calling, and we're talking about Native women in business, and we want to hear from you. What are some of the challenges or even successes? We want to hear how you succeeded in your business. And we know that COVID-19 has hit Indian country hard, but give us a call and share your story. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Liz, share a little bit about this equity challenge. What was that about?
It was basically leveling the playing field for women who wanted to, advance gender or promote gender equality. So, four awards were given of $10 million. We were one of four. There were two other organizations that also received a little bit of money. So they're just looking for innovative solutions, right, that enable maybe more women, particularly Black, Indigenous, women of color, to, be in positions to make decisions, right, have control over resources, and shape policies and perspectives in their homes, their workplaces, their communities. And what we did was we got together way back in, I guess, August. So it's been a year since we started this journey during the pandemic. So we created this during the pandemic and just dreamed up this vision of what we can do. I mean, it was fun and it was hard. And, you know, how can we be most impactful over the course of 5 years? So we put together a timeline where right now we're right at the beginning. So we're actually having our first official meeting today. We're going to finalize our roles, project roles, staffing, and really just kind of look over everything. We're going to launch the Circle of Support program. So that's what we're calling the Technical Assistance Program, led by us, co-led, I guess, by Native Women Lead as well. We're kind of walking arm in arm for all of this. Native Women Lead for this is going to launch the Indigenous Women's Investment Fund, the program strategy for it. So again, they're going to launch the Matriarch Response Loan Fund. So there will be some loan funds available at a low interest rate. There will also be the start of the table building, what they're calling community table building. Events like Transformation Thursday, which is something they've run for the past, I don't know for how long during the pandemic, but I think it's been at least a year, which is kind of a cool thing. It's a cool concept because they put it, once we got to a place and we were finalists in the challenge, Quality Can't Wait Challenge, we took it to that group of people that came to Transformation Thursdays and co-led this together. And we presented it to, you know, the people that were there. We had breakout groups. It was fantastic, and it really influenced what we came up with in the end, right? So we have an idea, right, from our perspective. And again, 6 of the 8 co-founders went through the NEAR program. You know, I started a small business a while ago, et cetera. So anyway, we basically are carrying that through the 5 years and also developing fellowships for 10 individuals.
Hold that thought, Liz. We got to take another break. You're listening to Native America Calling. We're talking about Native women in business today, and we're going to come right back.
Smoking gave me COPD, which makes it harder and harder for me to breathe. I have a tip for you. If your doctor gives you 5 years to live, spend it talking with your grandchildren. Explain to them that your grandpa's not going to be around anymore to share his wisdom and his love. I haven't figured out how to do that yet. I'm running out of time.
COPD makes it harder and harder to breathe and can cause death. You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Thank you for tuning in to Native America Calling. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. We're talking with some Native women in business today. What are your thoughts? Are you a business owner? Get in on the conversation. We want to hear from you. Do you see different challenges with your business off or on the reservation? And what about a difference between your male counterparts? Do you see a big difference there? Give us a call. Our phone lines are open. Don't wait till the end. We want to hear from you right now. Call us, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Liz, I wanted to give you a chance to wrap up your thought about how this challenge began.
Sure. So we have 5 years, right, to make a collective impact, to create this model of working together. I mean, I feel like, you know, it's collaboration, not competition, is something I just have, you know, imprinted right by my screen, because we're going to be stronger together. So each year we're both working to, right, offer technical assistance through the Circle of Support. We have an Indigenous Women's Investment Fund that will ramp up and we'll be able to fund and provide some seed funding for Native women entrepreneurs. You know, a lot of entrepreneurs have access to a friends and family round that's not always available. Often it's just not available at all for Native entrepreneurs. We have the community table building, which is like the convenings, right, just like the Transformation Thursday that Native Women Lead has been running. We had a community of practice. Maybe we'll bring that back in association with the Technical Assistance Program. And we're both going to co-develop new project indicators with participants. Like, what does that look like? You know, what is the data, the learning, and the evaluation that could come out of there? And so it's the fellowship that begins in year two. So we're going to start with five fellows that will, support, just new, maybe new blood in the industry, new participation and people that are interested. And we want to provide the curriculum and the strategy around it. Native Women Lead is already working with the board of advisors that are in the industry now and are supporting them with that curriculum. And then there will be a business summit, there will be convenings, and eventually there will be an Indigenous Women's Retreat Center here in this area. So, this grant is going to fund all of that. In the end, we're going to serve, I think Alicia said, 3,000 women at the end of it.
A lot of exciting things to look forward to. And Alicia, anything to add to what Liz was just talking about with the challenge?
I think Liz captured everything pretty well about just our goals. You know, I just want to share too that I know 10 million sounds like a lot of money, but also, mind you, it's over a period of 5 years between both our organizations. So we definitely, appreciate this seed funding and this huge investment, but we absolutely want to continue to build on it and ensure that both our organizations are sustainable well into the future so that we can bring more women into the circle and just ensure the sustainability and the future of how we do business. And in that, I think this has been a wonderful opportunity just to really reclaim our narrative and, reimagine and redefine what wealth, business, and measurements of success look like from an Indigenous woman's lens. And I think, just something really beautiful about that is in the way that I've seen over the course of time how Native women do business. And, it's with everyone in mind, everyone from our unborn babies to our elders and our ancestors, everyone in between, the land, the water, the earth, our resources, all of those things. And it's a really beautiful thing. And so I'm just really happy and proud and excited that that this investment has been made in Native women.
And it's a lot of excitement and good news and good things happening as, the pandemic continues. And it's something that people can look forward to. Alicia, what are some of the things that you've heard from some of the ladies that are involved with Native Women Lead about some of the big challenges that they've been facing during COVID-19?
Well, as mentioned, I think just even prior to the pandemic, we have a huge, huge issue of access to capital, which Shaye mentioned earlier, and that across the board, most Native Americans face. And in addition to that, many others, I think that the pandemic really highlighted a lot of those issues that, also involve broadband access. And mentioned earlier just about a lot of the businesses having to pivot from in-person sales to online and kind of creating that presence for themselves to continue during the pandemic. We were really happy and excited to be able to help support that through support with the New Mexico Indian Affairs Department, which we, as I mentioned earlier, we're kind of building out our policy arm, and we're provided with support that helped support during the pandemic. So we were able to provide 66,000 to 132 Native entrepreneur families. And then mentioned earlier, we also did the Matriarch Response Loan Fund that was separate with Nusenda Credit Union and Indian Collective, where we lent over 150,000 to 35 Native and women-owned businesses. This was at a 0% interest rate and 50% loan forgiveness. And, this was really just the beginning of what we're building with the Equality Can't Wait
funding, which is the bigger Indigenous Women's Investment Fund that Liz mentioned earlier, that we're really excited about. But, you know, in the midst of this also, I want to share that we're really trying to support self-care. So we were also able to support 9 Native and women-owned businesses during the pandemic and send out over 200 care packages to the folks that participated in our Transformation Thursday events. And that actually seeded the inspiration for what we have this year, which is our Native Women Lead Fair Trade Initiative, where we're supporting a new cohort of 7 Native and women-owned businesses in our BWE Box initiative. So that's just launched recently. Check out our website. You can order online. It's what we hope to grow into a subscription model and support Native businesses through direct investment. Also, all of the businesses that will be part of this also have access to the wraparound support, like Liz mentioned, as well as the access to capital. So we're excited that, you know, although we've come up against these challenges, we're also very resilient and pivoting and growing, and seeing, you know, a lot of Native women businesses continue to flourish.
And I think that's something that is good to talk about, is just the resilience of Indigenous people across the country. And definitely during the pandemic, we've seen a lot of that. Chaye, go ahead and talk a little bit about the resilience and what you hope to see coming out of the pandemic.
I think for me, like a lot of businesses, is it for me?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, keep going. All right. I think for a lot of businesses, in that we've had to really pivot and think about how we're going to serve our communities. And as Alicia said, that it seems like with a lot of Native communities, especially with women entrepreneurs, we have a sense of community. How are we going to take care of each other? It's just something that kind of is embedded in us. And so we've had to kind of learn and research and figure out who our allies are, who are going to be our team players, who are going to be our supporters. Because like Tina said, you know, we were told go to the Chamber of Commerce, go to the SBA, go to these other different resources. But, you know, in terms of somebody like the SBA, they don't have aid. They don't have, support for micro businesses. And a lot of our Native entrepreneurs are micro businesses. So right now, entrepreneurs are redefining the term of what a small business really is. And with women like Tina, you know, really saying, I am a social entrepreneur, this is what I'm going to do for my community. And there's a lot of other women entrepreneurs out there who are actually working to redefine what business is in Indian country. Is one of the really interesting things that has happened during the pandemic. And just to be able to cheer each other on, I've been attending the Transformation Thursdays with Native Women Lead, and to see entrepreneurs from, you know, the United States and even Canada talk about what they're going through, and to talk about that self-care, talk about how do, you know, we redefine these terms that are going to benefit us is sweeping right now. So even though we were all not able to meet in person, I think being able to be in the comfort of our homes or on our sacred lands, you know, that energy has just kind of helped us become more empowered and to spark interest in Native women entrepreneurship.
And Tina, for you, what do you hope for the future and coming out of the pandemic and the resiliency of yourself and your business and your community?
My hopes for the future are just more support for people's dreams and overall healing in community, because, you know, it's not that we lack passion. It's not that we lack ideas. It's not that we lack anything. It's not that there's just lack of capital and resources, but I just hope that organizations like these can continue on and be there for a support for young people's dreams and even older anybody's dreams. And I just want people to follow through and, you know, stick to their passion, feel supported, and search out that community that you need to make your dream successful. That's what I hope for people for the future.
And Alicia, to add to what Tina's talking about, any advice for Native women across the country that are listening to this program today? Any key words of advice you can give them?
I would just say continue to lock arms, you know, and build each other up, support each other, you know, local businesses. I think I, over the last year in particular, have been really a lot more mindful of my dollar and how I spend it and where I spend it, and making sure that I'm supporting my sisters in business and brothers in business, and, you know, just locking arms with one another and staying positive and resilient as we always have, and just supporting one another.
And Liz, anything to add?
I think it's all been said pretty well. I would also echo just to reach out, right, and find allies. And, you know, maybe you won't find it in the SBA, but maybe you will. Maybe you just need a short marketing piece about whatever, branding, logo, something. And we have a list of links. Native Women Lead has resources, I think, on their site. So subscribe. Subscribe to our newsletters. Watch our socials. And follow us. You know, we're trying to build new models, right? New models that are kinder, that are more supportive, that really, and we're here. We are, like, laser focused on helping you succeed. So, you know, we want to be that those people for you. And we also can't wait to cheer you on, honestly.
And go ahead. I know we've given out some information. What are some of those links, Liz?
Sure. New Mexico Community Capital is nmccap.org. And Native Women Lead is nativewomenlead.org. You can also find us on our socials. And if you go to those websites, there will be links to just sign up for our socials, newsletters, et cetera, and just keep up with what's going on. Eventually, we want to have one site that covers the future as Indigenous women. So it will be representative of all the work that we're going to be doing over the next 5 years and hopefully longer.
And Alicia, any other links or pages to share for people to check out?
Yes, also just in addition to our website, nativewomenlead.org, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on LinkedIn and Twitter. Just check us out at Native Women Lead.
And Tina, anything to share? Any links where people can find you at?
Yes, I am on Instagram and Facebook. My Instagram handle is itality_plantbased_wellness. And I have a website. It's www.italitynm.com. And I have a lot of great, exciting news coming. So please follow and just share the journey with me. Thank you.
Well, we definitely look forward to hearing what that is. And Shaye, any links to share for you?
My website is earthskyfloral.com. My social media handle is at earthskyfloral. And I'm also a semi-finalist for the powwow pitch for the region of the United States. So go online and vote for me.
Awesome. Sounds great. And thank you all for joining us today. We had a great conversation today talking to some Native women in business. We've reached the end of the hour, and I'd like to say thank you to all our guests today. And we have some more shows coming up for you this week here on Native America Calling. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about a totem pole that traveled across country It stopped at several sites to raise awareness about sacred site protection before making its way to Washington, D.C., where it was presented to the Biden administration. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. Tune in, call in, don't wait. And thank you to the crew and our listeners. And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Looking to get your high school diploma? Southwestern Indian Polytechnic Institute offers Native Americans ages 18 or older training and preparation courses for the high school equivalency diplomas, in person and online, beginning September 6th. This no-charge program includes testing fees and other resources will be available to help with supplies and living expenses. Space is limited. Application deadline is August 6th. More by calling 505-382-4287 or at sipi.edu, who support this show.
Anna Lena had done a deskwaska to get you to Yola, Gessesti. Adana to get you to Yola, Gesses, Natohi, Adeti, Uyesti, Gusla, Antana in. We tell her no head any area, a yella, an excesties, she's a duly, to Delo Hohusti, Yadanti, at healthcare.gov, 1-800-318-2596. He are gets a no Medicare, a Medicaid, Unadaska in.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service. Music is by Brent Michael Davis. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.